Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, got a great show planned for you in the most scintillating hour of finance radio. I'm sticking with it. I like it. it's a bit grandiose. I get it. But anyway, it's a statement of aspiration. Hopefully we're fulfilling that. That's the goal anyway, right? The beat goes on. No shortage of material to discuss. Crazy week again. We hit the bottom, or quote-unquote bottom. And then all the exuberance runs back in. Netflix starts going up, right? it's like a Super Bowl. Just all over the place. And remember, we're getting into the market update, right? And there's so much to discuss. And today, and I'm skipping all around because my brain is racing, so stay with me here. Today is going to be a special episode all dedicated to one topic, except for the market update, the opening segment. But the rest of it is going to be dedicated to China. Now, before you turn the dial, I don't want to hear about China. What's going on in the markets here? Presidential elections on Tuesday. But I get it. But remember, we're a global economy now, whether we like it or not. And we got to pay attention to what's going on in the rest of the world. And the Chinese situation is just fascinating to me. And it's one that I've been paying attention to for a while. We've talked about it on the show before. We've even done a couple segments on China, but I want to do an entire show based on China and kind of try to tie it all together so people have a clear idea of really what's going on there and the issues and potential issues and knock-on effects and problems and all that kind of stuff. And I'm actually really excited to discuss this today because if you remember, we did an interest rate special. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how, and we're seeing it over and over, we're sitting down with clients constantly. As a matter of fact, we've been absolutely swamped. And we're watching the interest rate thing play out, and we're watching people's bonds get smoked like we've been talking about for 6 years, and people are waking up to it. There's all these potential problems out there, and we talked about how interest rates are the bullet that we all saw, right? It's the slowest moving train. And if you haven't had an interest rate discussion with your financial advisor, you should probably look for a new financial advisor. And as always, you can call us. Little self-indulging plug there. But the reason why, we all focus on markets. We all see the news. What's the Dow doing? What's stock doing? You got to remember, let's start from the bottom up, right? When we're going to build a house, do we start talking about, you know, walk-in closets and marble? No, we build a foundation, right? Interest rates are the foundation of the entire financial system, and they affect everything, everything. And we got to keep an eye on that. Now, China is a little bit different. China actually, in my opinion, is the bullet that nobody sees coming. And if they do, they see it coming on an anecdotal level. They talk about debt. They talk about, and all these things are true, but it's no big deal because China's growing and they got 1.2 billion people and everything's fine. Or is it? Well, we're going to talk about that today. So, and I don't want to blow it, right? There's a lot to dig into. And it's going to be, you're going to have to really hang with me on that one, because it's going to be a little bit helter-skelter. It's going to be all over the place, because I really want to condense this down into one episode. And there's just a lot to talk about. So we're going to do our best to get to it. I'm going to try to draw a concise picture so you guys understand what's going on in China. But anyway, let's get to the market update. So, you know, it's the sky's fallen last week. We're freaking out. Then all this other stuff starts catching a bid. Which is normal when you've got markets that run this hot, this long, even when things, what happens in financial markets? And if you're listening to this radio show and you're listening to this show in particular right now, I should have said radio station. You're probably at least aware of what's going on in the financial system and the economy writ large, and you're probably paying attention, even if it's just the periphery, even if you're just watching the indexes on a regular basis, right? Well, when you see dislocations occur in markets and sudden bouts of volatility and possibly regime change, what I mean by regime change is a shift in trajectory, right? This, for the last 8 years, probably last 10, but specifically the last 6 to 8 years, it's been a tech-driven market. We've talked a lot about that, right? And we've talked about how you spot when these things get, you know, dangerous and when you need to be careful. We've discussed that at length, at probably too much length in the past few episodes. And what happens in these shifts is all of a sudden at some point tech will quit leading, right? And I'm not saying that's happened, but we've seen substantial drawdowns in a lot of the big tech names. And that's important because it's not just a shift in emotion. There were some disappointing earnings calls really across the board. Now, they weren't horrible. But remember, when your stock's priced to perfection, you've got to keep producing perfection to maintain that standard. And of course, we know that's impossible. But you go right down the board. Apple, Facebook, Netflix, Amazon, disappointing earnings. Not bad. I'm not saying there was big misses. There were positive parts to all the earnings reports. But the point is the stocks are priced to perfection. So anything less than that, even just okay, right, which is going to happen. We know that with athletes. We know it with our kids. We know it with our spouses. We love them. They're amazing. But they're going to be just okay sometimes. They're going to have bad days. Companies, stocks, it all works the same way. And that's the biggest reason you got to be careful when you're looking at these stocks or you're investing in these things that have these super high multiples, because it's just a matter of time. That multiple is not going to last for a variety of different reasons. And I think what you're seeing is people kind of waking up to. So that was what was funny about this week, is all of a sudden it was back in. Now, they didn't even come close to recovering their losses, but they start bidding up these tech stocks again. You know, NVIDIA, Netflix, all these other, and they start bidding them up again. Oh, we're bouncing back. And you guys, landscape has changed. Earnings reports aren't perfect. That perfection pricing has got to come out of those stock prices. I'm not saying it's happening right now. I'm not saying it's done. I'm not saying it's not going to continue or stop or what, but I'm just saying if nothing else, you just saw a preview of the inevitable. Now, I think you're probably done with tech being the single-handed leader of this market. I just don't think there's the momentum there left. And so we got to look elsewhere. And if you listen to the show, we need to be looking elsewhere up to, you know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, preferably six. Just because we need to be identifying those potential pitfalls and those potential problems. So anyway, moving on, the other interesting thing, you know, as always, like I said earlier, right now, you know, in the market update in this segment, I said interest rates are the foundation of everything, right? They are moving up. And we've got a really, really interesting setup in the month of November, because the Fed has got a meeting and everybody is expecting them to hike again. And I said previously this week, even meeting with some clients, that I don't think they're going to hike. But there was news that came out yesterday that really made me second guess that point of view. which was the jobs report, which came out and smashed expectations, and wage increases. Fastest wage increase in the or pace in the last, I want to say 18 years. Don't hold me to that, but something along that line. Right? And that is a precursor to inflation. That means more money is getting out there in the economy. And we all know what that means. Right? Don't expect to see credit card debt fall. Right? This isn't your grandmother's American economy. We all know what that means. I would expect money velocity to pick up, at least here in the U.S. I'd expect consumer demand to pick up, at least for right now. And there's a lot of you guys know all the fears that I've got and the things that we're watching, because there's so many big pitfalls, but you've got to stare at what's right in front of you. You got to stare at what's currently going on. And that's what's going on. We got wage increases coming like we haven't seen in a really long time. And we've got inflation popping up all over the place. So we really want to watch that. Now, the interesting thing about that and the Fed is that puts the Fed in a tight spot. Because there are some signs of some capitulation in the market, specifically in real estate. And that's sort of nationwide right now. It is slowing. It has slowed. And real estate tends to be historically one of the greatest indicators of what's going on in the economy. And as interest rates go up, house prices will fall or stagnate at best. It's just a function of how we buy homes here in the United States. So few of us buy a home, we buy a mortgage. And as the cost of that money increases, the house we can afford, right, that number goes down. And it's just a function of, like I said, just a function of interest rates. It's just the way it works. It's functional lending. And so that's a concern. But a lot of the underlying data in the economy still looks really strong. So anyway, we want to be careful, as always. We got to take into consideration that we're 10 years into a bull market and record high valuations and all that kind of stuff. We've all gone over that. But to me, the thing that I'm watching is the Fed. Because they're in a rock and a hard place right now. They've got what appears to be an economy that is still doing really well, but there's indications of slowing. At the same time, there's indications of interest rate ramps, or excuse me, inflationary ramps, inflation going higher. So what do you do? Right? And the interesting thing to me, maybe this is a bit of my sadistic side, but for the last 9 years, 10 years really, when this all started, to me, the linchpin after a lot of thought came was, what are they going to do when inflation comes next? What is their stance going to be? And what happens if inflation starts rearing its ugly head right about the time that it looks as if the economy is beginning to slow? Well, guess what? Here we are. So for nothing else, it's drama. But if you want to know what to watch this next week other than the elections, and the elections are a big deal. They're a really big deal. For all those out there talking about a blue wave, I know it looks like Republicans are going to hold the Senate. But that could throw a massive wrench in these markets. If there is a blue wave, expect an absolute bloodbath in the markets. Now, if it ends up like it looks right now, which is Republicans retaining the Senate and Democrats taking the House, I would expect that to create some market turmoil, but I don't really know. That's kind of a split decision. And that'll be really interesting. But the thing that is the most important, if you're going to focus on one thing over the next month, it's interest rates. It's that Fed decision, because that's really, we're getting to this rubber meets the road scenario right now. Because all the indicators that they've been talking about that they wanted to see in order to raise interest rates, they are there. Yet at the same time, we see global economic weakness and we see early signs of economic capitulation in our own economy. And remember, if you're the head of the Fed, now Jerome Powell, the guy appointed by Trump to head the Fed, he's not an academic type. He's not like the previous three Fed chairmen that we had. He's different. At the same time, the worst fear of every Fed chairman is to be at the helm when it blows up, or to hike interest rates into a recession. That's like the cardinal sin of central bankers. And that's funny because it is a cardinal sin that they've committed every single time. And yet now you've got inflationary pressures building up that we haven't seen in a really long time. So based on yesterday's news, my hunch will be that they will raise. And if they do that, barring some exogenous good piece of news like a resolution to the China trade deal, but you're going to see more turmoil in the market. And you're going to keep, and I think you're going to see a theme here. And this is one of the important things that we've been talking about for so long. The killer about a rising interest rate environment is when interest rates go up, stock valuations drop. And that's a problem when you've got the most highly valued stock market in the United States. It's also a problem when the revenues that the government is collecting on taxes are more dependent on capital gains than they've ever been. Especially when said government is running trillion-dollar deficits and climbing. Especially when said government has 115% debt to GDP and climbing. Right? These are issues. These are concerns. Rising interest rates only make that picture worse. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting, but expect more volatility. Expect more volatility because we are out of that Goldilocks segment. And for those of you just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio, and I'm Zach Abraham. And we are discussing the market update. So look, this really brings in this outlook, this good and bad, right, that we've got going on, this predicament that the Fed's in. You need to look at your statements, people. You need to look. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just turn a blind eye. Because if this interest rate hike keeps going, you're completely unprotected. Because it's going to hit bonds and it's going to hit stocks. If you don't believe me, if your advisors still got you sold on the stocks up, bonds down, bonds up, stocks down, all that kind of stuff, just go look at the last 60 days. You've bled it from everywhere. You have no hedge. Your portfolio and the construction of your portfolio and the proliferation of modern portfolio theory occurred during the greatest fixed income bond or bull market of all time. It is not a portfolio designed for a rising interest rate environment. You have no hedge. Not to mention record low rates and receiving a return on your money that's not, you know, that's not commensurate with the inflation rate, and then paying like a guy I sat down with yesterday. He is with Merrill Lynch. Great guy, by the way. Had a good time chatting with him. But he's with Merrill Lynch. He's got 50% bonds in his portfolio, and they're charging him 1.6% for a static portfolio. Holy smokes. That's insane. And the biggest reason why it's insane is because he's got 50% of his portfolio that isn't making 1.6% and can't, because rates can't go down. It's highway robbery. And so, look, I've said over and over and over, the modern financial advisors are good people. It's not where the crime happens. It's not where the fraud happens. The financial advisor world is actually a lot more moral and a lot more, you know, altruistic than most other forms of investing. However, it doesn't mean it's smart. There's an absolute dearth of financial advisors that do not know their financial history, that do not know answers to these, you know, these issues that we're currently dealing with. They've just been trained that security is bonds. They don't get it. It ain't going to work. So when you're looking at a portfolio like that and someone's slapping a 1% fee on it, or a 1.5, or God forbid, a 1.6% fee on it, there's only one of two things going on. What it tells you is they're fleecing you, which is by far the minority, but you're either being fleeced or they don't know what they're doing. Either way, it's not a good position to be in. And if you find that in your portfolio, hopefully this inspires you to go home and look. And look, I understand. We're on the radio. It doesn't mean that you're going to see I'm right and then just call me up and hand me your portfolio. But hopefully it prompts change. Hopefully you see all the things that we've been talking about for years now. And you go, wow, it's really happening. This is real. I can really bleed money out of bonds. Bonds could be the Achilles heel of my portfolio. Right on down the line. Hopefully you come to that realization. You go, look, we need to do something else. Maybe that means you call us at Bulwark. Maybe that means you talk to somebody else, but do something. Because you're not hedged. You're not protected. Your fees are probably way too high based on the composition of the portfolio. I mean, think about that. If your bonds, let's say your bonds are averaging 1.5%, which they're not, but let's just say they are, and you're paying 1% in fees, you're handing your annual gains, the annual cash flow from that investment, you're paying out 66% of it in the form of account fees. That's insane. And if the advisor understands that, it's immoral. It's usury. It's crazy. So if you go home, maybe you're listening home, and you check your portfolio and you want to know what to do. You go, Zach, I see it. My stocks have gotten hammered. My bonds have gotten hammered. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or you can email us by going to our website at knowyourriskradio.com. You can sign up for the free booklet. We can do an email consultation if you don't feel like calling us, and that's, you know, weird. We can do a phone consultation over the phone, comparing what we do to what you're currently doing and the fees associated. Look, we have a transparent process. It's not a sales process. We need to get some of our clients or potential clients on the radio at some point and realize that, you know, what is it like talking to Zach? He comes and shows you the stuff and he looks at you and goes, hey, if you want to do it, give me a call. See you later. That's it. That's it. That's all we do. First of all, I can't stand that high-pressure sales environment. Second of all, I just don't believe in it. Hey, here's what we do. We've got a better way. Look at the performance. Look at the fees. It's pretty simple. If you see it, you like it, you want to do it, great. We'll help you. If not, best of luck. Maybe that's not even a good sales process. Maybe we're not taking advantage enough of enough clients. I don't know. Whatever. It's just the way that we do it. I can't stand that whole used car salesman approach. We just want to offer people a better way. If they see the light and want to join us, great. We'd love to have you. If not, best of luck to you. But anyway, give us a call. Go to the radio show website, listen to the podcast page. You can also subscribe to the podcast page. Because, look, I understand. I realize you're probably not running over to the radio like it's 1955, getting ready to listen to the Lone Ranger, right? Waiting anxiously by the... I get that. So maybe, you know, sitting in traffic, right? Podcasts are nice. Hopefully this is somewhat entertaining. Make the time pass a little bit better. But anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Pay attention. You're getting a wake-up call. Look at your portfolio, how it's performed over the last 3 months. Fed decision coming up. You're just going to see a continuation of that. Remember, rising interest rates hit stocks and bonds. You got to be protected. And better performance, lower fees, less risk. You know the spiel. Anyway, all right, we got to run. Went a little bit over on this opening segment, but I wanted to get all this stuff out of the way. What else are we watching, guys? Not a lot. A lot of noise in the markets this week. I expected that going into election time. We're probably not going to see any clarity about where we go from here, at least until after the elections. Then we got a Fed announcement coming up. A lot of stuff. So but you know, don't get too hung up in these recent moments or these recent movements. This is just a lot of noise, and October's usually the worst month of the year anyway, especially in an election year. So, you know, don't read too much into it. But like I said, it's a good stress test. It's a good example of what will happen in a rising interest rate environment. And if you have a traditionally composed portfolio, you're going to get killed. And I'm not making it up. If the safety part of your portfolio can lose 4% in a 60-day period of time, you're not safe. And you're paying way too much in fees for it. It's crazy. It's a better investment for your financial advisor than it is for you. Anyway, you know how to get a hold of us, so stick with us. The rest of the show is China. And even if you're not interested in China, you need to hear it because it's going to impact you whether you believe it or not. So stick with us. I'm pumped about this show. Got some great information and insight that I guarantee you haven't heard. And it should be really interesting. I'm excited to discuss it. Anyway, we got to run. take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. Brian has 2 classes coming up in Tacoma on November 3rd and Bellevue November 17th. Seating will be limited, so reserve your spot right now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs, so why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, and we are back. And let's get it rolling here. Okay, so the special, the rest of this episode is dedicated to China. Now, we've talked about China before. We've dedicated some segments to it. We might have even said I don't think we've ever done a show, though. I could be wrong. But even if we did, it wasn't as expansive as this. And we've been watching China for a long time. And the biggest reason we've been watching China is probably two things that are massive. Okay. It's the demographic setup in China, right? We know they got 1.1 or 1.2 billion people, something like that. And that they've liberalized big portions of their economy, right? It's kind of a hybrid communist capitalist type deal. And the other reason that China has caught our eye, because that like so many other modern economic booms, and before we do that even, hold on. Let's define an economic boom. Okay, we know it. We saw one from 2002 to 2008 here, or 2007, however you want to look at that, in the form of the real estate boom, right? We saw it with the tech boom. We've seen it in the last 10 years, which is a little bit different, the easy money boom, right? We've seen these economic booms. We got to put China's in context, and the reason why it's so staggering is because, first of all, China has now gone 25 years without a recession. 25 years. Okay, and when you look at the amount of debt that they had built up into their system beginning this 25 year, it's really easy. Now, has there been innovation? Yes, of course. I'm not writing it all off and saying it's just a house, you know, it's just smoke and mirrors. Right? A lot of people have been lifted out of poverty. A lot of good things have happened, okay? But when we look at how or why they liberalized a portion of the economy, that is true. But virtually all of the progress that they have made economically has been bought via debt. And as a matter of fact, when we look at China over the last 25 years, it is the most massive and quickest accumulation of debt that the world has ever seen. It has been staggering. And the logic all around was when their economy was growing at 12% a year. That's right, 12% a year. I believe it even hit 13, low teens. The accumulation, the rate of accumulation of debt can be a lot higher, right? Because you have nominal growth that's supporting that debt. You have the growth of cap. You've got the growth of companies. You've got the growth of value. You've got the growth of cash flow. And that can support higher levels of debt. Okay, but here's the tricky thing about debt that we all know is that growth rates are variable. Debt is not. Right? Unlike markets and asset prices that can go up and down by 50% in a 12-month period of time, debt levels don't. They just keep rising. And the higher they get, the faster they grow. It's an exponentially growing thing. And for those of us that have ever been through financial troubles, you know what that's like. It's like playing whack-a-mole, right? You take care of one, and all of a sudden this other one's grown. And say, right, it's, you feel like you just can't, you know, you feel like you got a hole. You can't bail fast enough to get the water out of the boat, right? The faster you bail, the more that comes in. More water comes in. And so what we've seen now, especially over the last 10 years, and more specifically the last five, is that that growth rate in China has really slowed down, but the debt issuance is not. Now, everybody looks at it now in the world of finance, and they sit there and they go, well, yeah, the amount of debt's staggering, but it hasn't blown up yet. And so maybe their growth can sustain it. And if these issues were so unavoidable, there would have already been problems. We haven't seen a recession in 25 years. Again, in my humble opinion, this is the exact wrong way to look at things, because the fact we haven't seen a recession in 25 years means that we're just very close to one. Right? The Chinese have not cracked the code on everlasting economic expansion. That you can bet the house on. In addition, at the end of the day, even though they've liberalized parts of their economy, it's still a command economy, meaning that they're a centrally planned economy. And we've never seen it work. And we're not gonna. I don't know the timetable. I think time's getting rather short with China. But that could mean four more years. Who knows? The thing I'd be willing to bet everything I own on, it's not going to last another 20. And I'd probably bet everything I own that it's not going to last another 10. And if the terms were good enough, I'd probably bet that it won't last another 5. Because we're seeing the strains. We're also seeing the lower growth. And as growth continues to capitulate and normalize and come down to more normal growth rates, which I think are overestimated anyway, and one of the reasons we think they're overestimated is because the growth rates always hit exactly what the Communist Party says they want the growth rates to be. And so, more than anything, that is a smoke signal to us that we're not getting good data. Right? China doesn't have, they haven't figured out the world of economic forecasting while the rest of us remain in the Stone Ages. So you can write that off. And the reason, and everybody goes, okay, well, why would China affect us? All that kind of stuff. Okay, so we got to look at what China is. First of all, China is now the second largest economy in the world. Okay, so we have never seen an economy that this was this big and this influential in the global stage. Remember, we're not talking about a backwater anymore. This isn't a debt problem in Singapore. Right? This isn't an economic, hiccup in Kuala Lumpur. This is China. This is the world's second largest economy. And the country in the world with the second, depending on the numbers you're looking at any given day, the second to first largest population. And more importantly than that, to illustrate my point, in the last 20 years, China has made up 40% of the demand for raw resources and commodities. 40%. One country. It's unbelievable. Now, in addition to that, in the last 10 years, China's accounted for 60% of the world's economic growth. Where do all the U.S. companies want to operate right now? Where do they all want to spread into? China. They want to tap into that population base and that growth. And while the rest of the world is drowning in demographics, meaning that they don't have enough new people being born, new birth rates here in the United States have stagnated, in much of Europe they've gone negative. And more people means more growth, right? People got to eat. They got to have houses. They got to have cars. They got to have transportation. While China's birth rate doesn't remain impressive, they still have, I want to say 600 to 700 billion people still living in poverty or relative poverty. So that makes up for, right? You've got this huge body of people that are, you know, slowly moving into the middle class. Therefore, their consumption is going up and all that other kind of stuff. So they've made up for 60% of the world's growth. Now, that's great while it lasts, right? It's nice while it lasts. But the one thing that we got to remember, especially for those of us who have been around for a little while, there's still a communist regime, guys. And for those of us that are old enough to remember the USSR, Soviet Union, Now China's got a longer runway than the Soviet Union had because they've liberalized big portions of their economy. That will balance them out. But they'll suffer the same eventual fate unless they completely liberalize, which they're not going to do. Unless they're forced to, not unless there's a revolution of some kind. Now, in addition to that, one of the things that I think really signals economic strife or economic tension is the fact that Xi Jinping, you know, the new supreme leader or whatever, of the Chinese Communist Party, he has been executing an unprecedented consolidation of power. Basically, meaning that the Communist Party, or the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, answers to him and him alone. He calls the shots. Now, this is where, you know, when we're analyzing a situation like that, especially a different culture and one that's as different as China, we got to be really careful, right? Because when we're looking at these things, we're looking out at the problems of the world, we're never going to have all the data. So there's a need for extrapolation. There's a need to try to fill in the blanks. And we've got to be very careful about doing that with a black box like China, meaning that no matter what we think we know that's going on in that economy, we're never going to know it all. It's not an open and free society, for crying out loud. You can't even go on the internet and access certain websites. There's massive censorship. Okay, so we got to understand that we're analyzing this with one hand tied behind our back. But by sitting back and looking at things and just, you know, observing, you can kind of see things. What I'm saying is that if everything is going swimmingly, if there are no structural problems, if the growth is going to continue, what does a leader like Xi Jinping need to consolidate power for? Right. And what I mean by that is if everything is going good, he doesn't need to do it because there's political risk inherent in doing that, including making yourself a target for assassination. However, if there are large structural problems, what you cannot do is you cannot get held up in the inconveniences of democracy. Even if it's just skin deep, like it is in China. Right, you need to have iron-fisted control over that kind of stuff. And so you take a look, you take a step back, and you look at the whole scenario. I mean, the other thing that we got to do, too, is everybody, oh, China's the next great empire. Oh, China's... Let's put some things in perspective. Can we have a productive relationship with China? Yes. Should that be the goal? Yes. But let's, at the same time, remember, now, it's very different. It's very different. I'm not saying it's the same. I'm not saying Xi Jinping is the modern Mao Zedong. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is this is still the same Communist Party. And if you think that their global ambitions are to work alongside us and other democracies, you're kidding yourself. They believe that they have a better way to run the world, and they want to spread that out and proselytize their way of doing things to as many countries as they possibly can. And one of the results of that is you could have sort of a modern Cold War. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying it's possible. So anyway, we got to run. We got to go take a quick break, but we'll be right back, and we're going to continue right along with this Chinese discussion. And we are going to discuss, now we've kind of laid out the setup here. Now we're going to start getting into what's actually happening on the ground and the mechanics of all this, because we really need to understand it. And hopefully I do a good enough job laying this out to where you get it, because like I've been telling clients probably for the last 2 years, one of the questions they've got all the time to me is, what is the thing that worries you the most? And it usually surprises them when I tell them China. And then they go talk to their other advisors, and they go, and their advisors go, oh, China's great. We love it. And I'm just like, yes, of course it's great when it's growing at 8, 9, 10% annualized rate. But you've, anyway, I don't want to jump the gun here. We'll get into it. But we're going to lay out the actual mechanics and the reality on the ground and how this works, and we'll keep walking through this. So stick with us. A lot more coming up. And if these things interest you, if this next level thinking, and I'm not saying I'm a next level thinker, but I'm just illustrating the fact that we think about things a little bit differently. We look at the risks associated with more. If you're not having these conversations with your advisor, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, the podcast. I'm getting really quick at rattling stuff off. Have you guys noticed that? Practice makes perfect, right? You can get the free booklet. You can do the online. You can email us your questions or email us. If you don't want to talk to us, you guys know the drill. Anyway, we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. And Brian has his last 3 classes of the year coming up, November 17th, December 8th, and December 14th. So make sure to reserve your spot today. Seating will be limited. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back. Now, we got to do some consolidation. I told you this was really thick stuff. Hopefully, it's not too thick. This is a fascinating scenario to me, and I really want to share it with you guys, and hopefully, we're laying it back in a concise situation. So, I got to kind of pare a little bit of this down, but the biggest reason why I really wanted to do this show and lay this out is because I recently watched an interview with a guy by the name of Miles Kwok. And now he is a Chinese nationalist and he is a billionaire, been very successful in business over there, has a lot of connections to the party. Any billionaire has a lot of connections to the party. You can't separate it. It's just the way it works. That's not necessarily always a bad thing. But anyway, in the last few years, Myle Squawk has gotten very outspoken about the Chinese regime and how Xi Jinping, the leader of China, is now consolidating power, and how they've seen a regression in the amount of liberalization going on in the economy, and the and a regression in the democratic progress that they've made over the last 20 years or so. And anyway, he did an hour and a half, hour and 15 minute interview that I sat there and watched. And the first and foremost, now I think it's important to point out that the guy has an axe to grind. Now, he is wanted by the country of China, but the reason he's wanted is for speaking out against the party, okay? So he's not running from a tax bill or something like that, okay? And he was putting out videos on YouTube and all this kind of stuff, and he finally had to escape China because they were coming after him, and he got political asylum here in the United States. So now he's continued to speak out, and I'll try to hit a couple of things he's speaking out about, but first and foremost, he's warning American companies, do not go into China. One of the reasons they're receptive to you guys coming in is because they're stealing your IP, and that's the way that they do business, right? It saves them on the research and development dollars. They steal our ideas. They steal our intellectual property. And the amount of intellectual property theft is estimated, again, these are loose estimates, but estimated to be somewhere between $200 to $300 billion a year. So pretty significant, right? And that, you know, that's completely unfair. In addition to that, the Chinese government tariffs some of our goods. And even if they don't tariff them, they've got tariffs in other forms, which is government subsidies. I remember when we were operating in one of my past, one of my past ventures, I was the CFO of a manufacturing company while managing money on the side. And we were building, much to my chagrin, we were building oil tanker haulers over in China. And I can tell you on a firsthand basis that Chinese steel was significantly cheaper because it was government subsidized, right? So maybe that's not a tariff when we look at it, but it really is. It's a government subsidy, same thing. And it means when they dump that Chinese steel into our system, our private steel manufacturers can't compete, right? Because they're not government subsidized. So when we say that trade isn't fair with China, number one, and most importantly, it's the whole intellectual property situation. They do not conform to trade standards. And right now, everybody's looking past that because of greed. And the thing I think is really ironic is the companies that are looking past it the most are the technological companies like the Googles and the Facebooks and all that other kind of stuff. And they're the ones that are the, you know, outspoken against Trump because of his tyranny and fascism. And then they're running across the Pacific Ocean to China and kissing the ring of Xi Jinping, who is a totalitarian ruler, and building products for their markets that conform with Chinese law, which is in, you know, direct violation of human rights and freedom. It's really ironic. They're all scared to death of Trump and, oh, it's so horrible. But they're running over there and buddying up to a party and a structure that is guilty of a litany of human rights violations, murder, bribe, all this other kind of stuff. And they're revealing exactly who they are. Now, I don't want to get off track. I just thought that was a really interesting thing, right? How many times we listen to these brilliant genius tech entrepreneurs lecture us about all of these things that we need to do, and Trump is threatening democracy and blah, all this garbage, and then they're running across the Pacific, cozying up to probably the most corrupt political system currently on the face of the earth, guilty of, you know, decades of human rights violations. Now, has there been progress made? Absolutely. I'm not trying to talk down about the Chinese people at all. We're talking about the corruption and the power at the top. So now getting back to Myle Squawk here, one of the things that made him run is the Chinese party is beginning to lean on, blackmail, and demand that a lot of these privately made billionaires in China sign over all or part of their assets. And you can see this in the recent developments with Alibaba and their founder, Jack Ma. Jack Ma, remember, he resigned out of nowhere. This is a big shock about a month ago. Why would he resign? Now, interestingly enough, Miles Kwok has been talking about this and predicting this for the last 2 years, saying, look, you're going to watch these CEOs suddenly resign. They'll try to leave the country. They're going to divest themselves of some of their Chinese assets, or they're going to be taken by the party. So Jack Ma signed over something like 80% of his stake in Alibaba to five unnamed parties. Nobody knows who the parties are. And he resigned. Why would he do that? Probably because he had a real or figurative gun to his head. Now, this is where some of this extrapolation comes in, so we don't know that as fact, but that's pretty odd, isn't it? And then this also comes off the back of another CEO of a company over in China called HNA. And I don't have time to really get into the, you know, I got to cover all this stuff. So we can't really delve into, you know, what the company did and all the interrelationships. But Miles Kwok was targeting this guy and his, his name is Wan Qishang or Wan. Anyway, it's not important. Anyway, he's the CEO of a company over there called HNA. And they're very reliant on the Chinese lending situation, which also means that they're essentially partners with the Chinese government because the Chinese government backstops all the Chinese banks. And Miles Kwok was saying a year ago that, watch, this guy's going to get taken out. He's either going to disappear or he's going to get murdered. Well, about 3 months ago, he reportedly fell from a wall in France and died unexpectedly. Now, why would the Chinese government start seizing private assets? Well, one of our thoughts was they need more things to backfill. They can't just keep printing themselves out of this giant debt problem. And just greed, right? I think they see the signs of this economic, you know, boom coming to an end, and they want to make sure that their nests are well feathered. And again, that goes right along with the playbook we saw executed by the Soviet Union. All right, so it makes sense. And Miles Kwok's also saying that he's got people, he's got to deal with constant security. He's got the Chinese officials after him. Anyway, you might write the guy off as a quack. As a quack? Bad joke, sorry. But do it at your own peril, because a lot of his predictions, a lot of the things that he said to look for are completely real. Now, and you know what, Darren? Rather than taking a break here, we're just going to run straight through on this because I don't want to waste any time. Okay, so we've got the murders going on. And then in addition to Miles Kwok in that interview, one of the most alarming things to me he said is, get your money out of China. This thing's a house of cards. I'm telling you from the inside out. Now, one of the interesting things I thought about that statement, and we've talked about this on the show before, is that we've already said how China had this massive accumulation of debt unlike what the world has ever seen. It's been a binge of epic proportions. And there's no hyperbole in that statement. China now has 340% debt to GDP. But here's what's more alarming. What we really like to look at when we're looking at debt levels and if they're sustainable or not is we like to look at the total debt of an economy compared to the economy size, okay? Much like we do on the government balance sheets, right? Debt to GDP. We're familiar with those numbers, okay? Well, one of the sure signs that you've got a bubble is when the size of your banking sector or the size of your debt, when I say banking sector, just think of the size of the debt. And that'd be a whole nother show to explain why that is, but we live in a fractional reserve banking system, and that's the way it works. Anybody's asset is also simultaneously somebody's liability. So if you want to look at the debt outstanding, or if you want to see the true weight of the debt on an economy, just look at the entire size of their banking sector, okay? Now, we all know that our banking sector, as a percentage of our economy, got way too large in 2008, 2007, 2008, which led to the great financial crisis, right? Well, in 2007, our economy was a $16.5 trillion economy, and our banking sector was between $23 or $24 trillion. And that was a record. That was a big spread for us, and therefore we had the issues, right? Well, fast forward to today. We've got China, the economy, about the size of $12 trillion, closing in on 13, but, you know, considerably smaller than ours was in 2007. But then we look over to their banking sector, and their banking sector is approaching $37 trillion in size. Okay, you cannot have that without a problem. It's structurally impossible. But here's the other thing, and we've spoken about this on the show before. It's hard to get really reliable data out of China just because the party controls all the flow of information. And so it's just hard to see what that is at all times. But what we know through some of our quote-unquote research, we obviously don't have boots on the ground over in China, but following a lot of research from guys that have proven to be really good and very knowledgeable about what's going on in China, and they have firms in China, and they're doing research on the ground, we've seen the estimates come from anywhere from 45 to 60% of the loans in China are either bad or non-performing. And the reason those can stay on the books so long is because, remember, the banks are all backstopped by the Chinese government. So rather than them defaulting on that debt, which is what they should do, and redeploying that capital elsewhere, they haven't wanted the hiccups in the economy, and so they just backfill it on the bank's balance sheet, right? And those numbers are pretty reliable. Well, then we go to Miles Kwok, who's come up in that, right? He's a Chinese national. He's made billions of dollars over there, and he says his numbers have it at 45%. So let's say we'll even undercut that because that's on the conservative side, but we'll undercut that and say, let's say it's 40%. Let's say it's 35. Pick your number. The point is when your banking sector is $37 trillion and your economy is 12.5 to 13. Now, follow me here because this is just staggering when you get your mind around it. If 40% of the loans on Chinese bank balance sheets are bad, and if they're non-performing, that means that the amount of bad debt that needs to be written off or at least written down is greater than the entire size of their economy, which means China is structurally insolvent. Okay, now the question is if that is the case, which I don't really see it's not, maybe the numbers aren't quite as bad, but they don't need to be that bad. If they're anywhere close to that ballpark, then they're insolvent. And the way they've been able to sustain that is because they've had current account surpluses, meaning they've had more outside currency flowing into their country than they've had currency leaving. And what that allows them to do is they stack up that currency, U.S. dollars, euros, things like that, and that becomes foreign reserves, which backstop the value of their own currency. So they can print as much as their own currency as they want to and backfill these bank balance sheets without worrying about devaluing their currency too much or having a currency crisis, because they've got this constant stream of foreign reserves rolling into their country. But what do the tariffs do? Right? They slow that down. The other side of it is global growth slows down. That stream goes further down, right? That stream shrinks. And if that stream shrinks, then the debt starts going bad, right? There's not as much cash flow. So how do you fill that gap? Well, you issue new debt. It's like a heroin addict, right? You just got to keep going. And we didn't get through it all. Darren, I'm already ticked. Gosh darn it, we're out of time. We didn't get through it all. Anyway, we'll have a continuation on this next week because I think it's too important. And to me, it's the biggest risk we see out there right now. And the thing that scares me about it is, like the housing crisis, it's an inevitable risk. This has to blow up. It is the greatest credit experiment of all time. And it is the biggest financial house of cards I have ever seen or read about in history. It is a ticking time bomb. And the Chinese are beginning to act desperate. They're showing the signs of the stress. The growth rates are shrinking. The politics are getting more restrictive. They're showing all the signs. When everything is going well, an economy liberalizes. When things go bad, it starts tightening up because they need to control the information. They got to be able to control the narrative. They got to be able to frame the subjects. And if you have a portfolio, if you're not having these discussions, if this isn't part of your portfolio or your investment plan, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We'll show you how to de-risk your portfolio, how to take as much risk out of your portfolio as you want to while lowering your fees and increasing your returns. You go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, download the podcast, download the newsletter. You can get our free booklet. Just give us a call. Get a second opinion, guys. These stories are unfolding right in front of your eyes. So we want to keep an eye on China, keep an eye on rates, and keep an eye on the election. We got to run. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. Got a big week ahead of us, guys. Say your prayers and hope for the best. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.